Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. We are live here in the building, amen, in this last Sunday of the month of September, amen, the last Sunday in this third quarter. God has graced us and blessed us to see an amazing year of 2022 as we prepare to go into the last quarter, amen, of this year. We're grateful, we're excited, and we're just blessed, amen, to yet still have an opportunity to come in to serve the Lord, to praise Him, to magnify Him. So I'm excited on this morning to be in the house of the Lord. We missed you guys on last week, and so we had a great time away, but it's always good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And you all look amazing this morning. You look so good. Welcome virtually on YouTube and Facebook. I'm telling you, we are going to have a time in the Lord on today. We're going to open in prayer. We're going to have praise and worship, and we're going to get the word of God. So come on, those of you all in the building, if you can, let's give the Lord a hand praise. If you got two good legs, amen, and you can stand to your feet, let's stand to your feet as we offer up prayer on this morning. I'm telling you, the band is ready. Everybody's in the place. Let's magnify the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, to give you thanks today, God. Lord, we come to bless you, to honor you, God, to glorify you on today, God. Lord, we come to tell you thank you on today, God. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence, God, that, Lord, you will come, God, and build us up and strengthen us on this morning, Father God, as we come, God, surrendering our all over to you on today, God, that Holy Spirit, you will have your way on today, Father God, that you will move in this place, God. You will heal, you will deliver, you will touch on today, God, that, Lord, your presence will reign freely in this place like never before, Father God. And Lord, we just come to bless you today, God. We come to honor you today, Father God. We come to lift you up on today, God, as the Lord, as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings on today, Father God. Lord, we worship you today, God. We honor you today, Father God. We come to tell you thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your kindness towards us on today, God. And Lord, we just ask that you will fill this house on today, God. Fill this house with your glory this morning, God. Fill this house with your presence on today, Father God. That the power of your Holy Spirit, God, shall move like never before, Father God. Bring forth deliverance today, God. Bring forth divine healing on today, Father God. For those who are dealing with sickness in their body, God, we ask that you will heal and deliver, God, from every form of sickness and disease on today, God. That, Lord, you are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. For you said that by your stripes we are healed on today, God. We stand on your word this morning, God. We stand on your promises today, Father God. That, Lord, you will move on today, Father God. You will touch on today, Father God. And Lord, we expect miracles, signs, and wonders, God, to manifest in this place, God. Stir up this atmosphere today, Father God. Allow your prophetic anointing to flow, God. Allow your word to go forth with power and revelation knowledge, God. Allow, God, the praises to rain to the heavens on today, God. That, Lord, you may hear our cry on today, Father God. And, Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you, Father. We honor you this day on today, Father God. And, Lord, we just say thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, God. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise in this house. Oh, I said let's give God a praise. He's been too good to us for us to pancake him. He's been too good to us to be sitting down on him. But God is gracious. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is good to us. He is faithful to us. Even when we're not faithful, even when we don't deserve his goodness, he yet has grace for us because his grace is sufficient on today. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, as the sound begins to come, I hear the band. They're ready. Morning in your praise. I don't know about
love you forever. Hallelujah. Did you break up? Glory to God. But it's something about Jesus.
Come on, there it is.
When he says forever, he means forever. He's consistent forever. Yes, his work's better forever and ever. He'll be there. He'll love me. He'll see about me. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. He'll hold me. He'll comfort me. When I'm down, Jesus, you'll lift me. When I'm heavy, Jesus, you'll lift me up. My joy comes from you. My joy comes from you. This morning, we thank you that he's the same God on yesterday, today, and forevermore. He don't change. Hallelujah. Oh, Shabbat. God, settle in this place on today. It's something about when you just get a revelation about one word, forever. God, how long will you come see about me? He said, forever. Forever. How long am I gonna, you gonna love me, God, forever? Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Forever. How long are you gonna supply all my needs? He said forever. Cause that's just who he is. Glory to your name. Come on, can you worship him all over the room? Worship him all over the room. Come on, can we start right here? Purify our hearts.
Purify our hearts. Purify our hearts, Lord.
Come on, sing, sanctify.
Sanctify our hearts, Lord.
Sanctify
our hearts, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we need you.
Oh,
Come on and worship God.
Oh,
the praise team, the sound, the band, amen. Thank you, Brother Jeremy, for being here. Go ahead with that bass, Brother Tyler. Hallelujah. God is good, amen. Well, I'm grateful, amen, to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you all. You look amazing. God is so faithful, amen. We had an amazing time last night in our FBI service. I'm telling you, God moved in the place. People were inspired. Their faith was uplifted. We just had a good time, amen, just ministering one to another, amen. It's good just to have a time when you can just be in his presence and worship God and praise him without any restrictions or distractions, amen. I thank God that it was just in person. It wasn't no virtual, no Facebook Live or YouTube, that we can just be intimate with God, amen, and experience his presence. I'm telling you, I thank God for that and everyone that came out on last night. Listen, we're going to move forward in our service. It's our time for our tithes and offering this morning. We prepare to give. That's a good place for a hallelujah, Brother Elijah. I'm telling you, let's be excited, amen, about our giving, amen. God loves a cheerful giver, amen. So those of you all who are watching online, you can go to our website and give at www.newcovncwc.com. Click the give tab and you can give online. Those of you all who have Easy Tithe, you can go to Easy Tithe and sow your seed. If you don't have Easy Tithe, go to your app store, download the app, Easy Tithe, look for New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois, set up all of your settings, and you can give anytime, anywhere, all across the world. Amen. Amen. And those of you all who still use the United States Postal Service, we'll gladly receive your seed of tithes and offering in the mail. Mail them to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. Amen? Amen. While you giving, I'm going to give. If you need an envelope, please raise your hand. Brother Terrence will supply you with an envelope. Amen. I thank God the Lord is speaking to y'all. What to give? He's just talking to you. Amen. We're grateful and thankful, amen, that God is continuing to move us forward in our debt-free vision. Amen. And what God is doing as we prepare and believe in God to pay off our building in the beginning of next year. Last week we raised $343. We now only need $20,610 to meet our goal of $50,000 above our tithe and offering. So we're grateful for everyone that continues to sow and give toward the vision as we're believing God for miracles, breakthrough, increase, favor, promotion, unexpected income, and increase to manifest in our lives. Amen. Because we are declaring that we shall be a debt-free ministry and a debt-free people. Amen. Amen. God will do it. Amen. There are some people that are already debt-free in the house. So I want to touch and agree, because if they debt-free, that means that God's in the house. And if he can do it for them, he'll do it for me. Amen. So you just got to believe and have the expectation that God's going to do it and he's going to work it out on our behalf. Amen. All right. If you're ready to give, on my right, those from the rear, you can come forward to the front to sow your seed. On my right, from the rear to the front. Melissa. My man, Brother Chambers. Thank you for that blessing. Brother Elijah, Minister Doorway. Come on, Brother Tracy in the house. God bless you, man. Amen. Come on, let's give on our left side. Those of you all on my left, if you're ready to sow, let's proceed from the rear to the front. They wanted to give, amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tithes and offering this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, for every person that gave on today, Father God. Lord, we pray for those that may not have had it to give on today that they will be able to give on next time, God. Lord, we decree and declare that increase, overflow, and promotion is our portion as we sow our seeds in faith on today, God. We pray that as we give today, Lord, it shall continue to be used for the work of the ministry, for the building of your kingdom, and we seal these tithes and offering in your blood, and we thank you for it, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, are we ready for our announcements this morning?
Good morning, New Covenant.
Good morning.
These are our announcements. Tuesday, men's prayer on the conference line. Wednesday, corporate prayer and fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fruit, juice, water, nuts, and a small salad. Thursday, Bible study from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, movement ministry at 7 a.m. We will meet in the church parking lot, weather permitting. Sunday school from 9 a.m. to 9:45. Minister Oliver has received an email from the Sunday school supplier, Urban Ministries, and they anticipate delaying the next shipment of Sunday school books for the next session starting in September. As a result, they provided a link to their website that allows access to the Sunday school lessons. The website is urbanministries.com. Anyone interested in receiving the material can go to the website address provided and download the materials. Minister Austin would also like to know who may be interested in the ability to access Sunday school materials electronically. This would allow him to determine how many subscriptions to order. Please note the number of individuals able to access the site will be limited to the number of subscriptions ordered, so it's imperative to everyone interested to respond. The church's email is newcovenant2423@gmail.com. The sooner responses are received, the sooner we will order the subscription. If you have any questions, please see your contact, Minister Oliver. Sunday morning worship is at 10 a.m. The media is having interviews in the booth. If you're interested in doing an interview, please go to the media booth after the service. Events coming up. Peak Saturday. Join us for a 1 mile breast cancer and diabetes awareness walk on Saturday, October 8th, 2022. From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the old courthouse. Happy birthday to all September birthdays. Happy anniversary to all September anniversaries. I'd like to welcome all visitors online and in person to the New Covenant Worship Center, whether you're just checking us out or just looking for a new church home. You are welcome.
I have to, y'all. It's all gone.
Father, the shepherd in this house, Pastor Jonas Jeff.
Amen. God bless you all. You all may be seated in his presence. Listen, we had an awesome time last week, amen, trying to surprise Josh. And so we had a good time to see him, amen. And they won their game last week, but they lost yesterday, amen. So they were away, they were on the road, but it's all good, amen. This is a part of the the sport, amen. You win some, you lose some, amen. And you learn from those mistakes, and hopefully you grow and become better the next week. So it was good. I'm excited about today because we've been doing this tag team thing this entire month of September. And today I'm just grateful and thankful for my wife. She is an awesome, dynamic woman of God. She's a woman of prayer. I think it was one day this week. And I came home and I came into the bedroom and she was in the bathroom. And I thought that Cindy Trim was praying. And I was like, that sound like Cindy Trim praying. Or that sound like, you know, her YouTube going. And I peek in the door and that's her in there praying. I said, I thought that was on wax. I thought that was a recording or something. I said, I mean, you could just feel the anointing and the presence of God. And I'm telling you, that's what begins to, you know, differentiate a man from those who are truly in love with God and truly desire to serve God at their best. When they can spend that time, they're in the bathroom praying to God. Amen. Wherever you find your space and your time that you can lift up the name of Jesus, that's your space and that's your atmosphere. Amen. To worship him and praise him. And so today she wants to go first. I told her I was going to go first and she changed it. Amen. But it's all good. But I'm grateful and thankful for 25 years of marriage. Amen. Awesome. Thankful and grateful for her serving alongside of me in ministry. For next year, we'll be pastoring for 20 years and 25 years in ministry. So I'm telling you, it's been a journey. She has stood beside me through thick and thin, ups and downs. You know, hey, it's all good, and we're grateful for what God is doing. So I'm not going to have you stand again, but stand again. And let's welcome our woman of God, Pastor Venice Jones. Amen.
Hallelujah. You can take your seats. You don't have to stand. Amen. Father, we just thank you, oh God, for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this word on today, oh God. Now, Father, I pray that I will decrease and that you will increase in me, oh God. Father, I pray that you will take full control, oh God. Lord God, that it be all of you and none of me, oh God. Bless your people, oh God. We pray that you will unclog every stopped up ear, oh God, in the natural and the spirit, that they may hear the word and receive it with gladness, oh God. And God, I pray that we leave out of here changed, oh God, on fire for you, oh God. And God, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so grateful to be back in the building. I'm telling you, I could have stayed in praise and worship, but you know, it wasn't about me. Amen. You got to do that in your private time. You know, just get there, just have a concert all by yourself. Amen. But I was so grateful to be back. I was grateful to get a chance to see my son on last week. And, you know, grateful that, you know, we can yet leave and things be well here. And we don't have to feel bad or try to rush back because we know it's covered. Amen. Amen. God has put some leaders in place who can, hey, operate in their gifts and do what needs to be done. And so I'm grateful for that. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so grateful for my husband on today. Amen. Isn't he looking swell?
Amen.
I'm like, okay. I told him, I was sharing earlier with Sister Michelle and Karen. I said, yeah, he had to get some new clothes because I'm tired of him in them big clothes and stuff. You know, when we go out, come on now, get your stuff right. Amen. So I'm grateful for that. Amen. And I'm grateful for his commitment to consistency. Amen. I'm telling you, it is admirable and it is amazing to see because he is consistent. Amen. And so I'm grateful for that. And he's looking swell. You go on, boy. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I'm excited about the word on today. And I won't be before you long. I'm going to leave most of the time for Apostle. Amen. So I told him, let me get up here, say my little stuff, and sit on down. I'm going to let you take care. Okay? Amen. But I want to stay in the same vein as I'm still here. Amen. I'm still here. But can I add a little part B? And I haven't lost my and we're going to fill in the blank, okay? I'm still here, and I haven't lost my whatever that thing is, amen? So, you know, we realize that some attacks that we come under or some things that try to challenge us, you know, sometimes they're designed to destroy us, amen? They're designed to break us, to have us in such a place that it seems like we'll never come back from them, amen? Some of those attacks will diminish our fire. It will take away our zeal, amen. It will just say, God, how will I ever come out of this? We lose our hope. We lose our faith. We're like, God, this thing is so heavy. The burden is so heavy. I can never recover from this thing, amen. But that's some attacks. They'll do that to you, right? And so I like it. You know, it used to be a song, I think it's by Mississippi Mass, and say, I'm still here. I'm still here. And they sound like they barely there. Amen. Have you ever met anybody where you've been like, hey, sis, how you doing? How you been? I haven't seen you in a while. I'm still here. It don't seem like you really here. It seems like you just barely here. Amen. You're not really here. Amen. But I need somebody to get the excitement and say, sis, I'm still here and I haven't lost my faith. Sis, I'm still here. I haven't lost my joy. I'm still here. I haven't lost my faith. I haven't lost my hope. I'm still here. I'm still on my assignment. I'm still here. I haven't lost my purpose. You know, that thing tried to take me out, but I bounced back from it. Amen. It's something about recovery. Amen. It's a difference between recovery and just surviving. Amen. See, recovery is to return to a normal state. Amen. It's restoration. It's reclaiming something. It's the process of regaining what was lost, regaining your possession. Amen. So whatever I went through, I recovered. That means I picked up everything that I lost along the way. I might have lost a little hope or a little joy, but I reclaimed it after I came out of that thing. Amen. Recovery means to identify again. I may not have looked like myself when I was going through that thing, but once I came out, oh, I was myself and better. It was like Venice 2.0. I was a better girl. Amen. You knew who I was. Amen. It's something to save from a loss and, as I said, to restore. Surviving means to continue to live or exist. I'm just living or existing. Amen. It's to remain alive. So it's a difference between restore, recovery, and a difference between surviving. Amen. Come on, my mic didn't left me. I'm spitting all in it. Come on. Hallelujah. It's like, oh my God. So there's a difference between recovery and surviving. Amen. And it's the recovery for me. I want to recover, God. I want to bounce back. I want to recover everything that the enemy thought he took from me. I want to come back in my natural state. I don't want to go through something and I lose all my faith, my purpose, my hope. And you're like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? No, I want to come back. I want to recover what belongs to me. What's rightfully mine. What's rightfully my possession. So every now and then we take a hit. Amen. We take a hit. We take a loss. Several years ago, I taught about the boxer. Amen. And one of the things is a boxer, when they go through training, they design their training where they have to strengthen their legs and their core, because their legs and their core is their foundation, so that when they take a hit, they're able to still stand. Did y'all hear me? So their foundation is their legs. They gotta strengthen that and work on that, because hits will come, but it's about standing when the hits come. Come on here. Sometimes we gotta re-examine where our foundation is. Amen. See, if you take a hit and you lay out in the flow, it's like, girl, come on. You need to, come on, reestablish your foundation. Amen. Now, listen, some hits will knock you out, okay? It's like a boom, boom. Oh, man, I didn't fail. But it's the bounce back. It's the recovery for it. Amen. I grew up in an era, you know, back in the 70s. And, you know, in Chicago, Southside. And my parents taught us, you know, you couldn't run from a fight. You know, if somebody was gonna beat you up, You better not run home, because when you ran home, your mama, your daddy was gonna whoop your butt. Why did you run? And so they would make it their business. Like, if somebody hits you, you better stand your ground and hit back. Amen. We in another dispensation now. You know, we're not teaching that to our kids. Some of us, you know, it's another era. Amen. But my parents were religious about that. You bet not fight. And the other thing was, me, I have a sister, a younger sister. We 11 months and 5 days apart. Amen. We stayed fighting growing up. Okay, we still get a little spicy with it each other now, amen. But we stayed into a fight. And so my parents was like, you're not gonna fight your brother and sister in this house, and then you don't stand up to them jokers outside. So if you gonna fight in here, you better fight outside, amen. So I was reminded of the time when we lived on Walcott, amen. And it was these three girls who lived on the corner of our block, and we called them the three bald-headed girls. Just awful, okay? Y'all know why we called them that, amen? They had little short froes. But baby, these three bald-headed girls was bad to the bone, okay? They kept us running to our house because they wanted to fight us. And they kept coming out of us. So my mother got tired. She said, look, if you run in this house from them little girls one more time, I'ma whoop your tail, okay? So me and my sister got together. And sometimes you need a good sister that can help you, because sometimes these attacks and these things that we go under, you know, you need a little help. You just can't do it by yourself. It's okay. It doesn't diminish who you are if you got to get somebody to come help you. And so me and my sister, we developed this plan together. We set up a trap. Like, if you remember, what's the story with the little white boy who got left? Macaulay Culkin, when he made the plans when he was left home alone, right? Thank you. Home alone. So we made up this plan. We set up a trap. We gonna tell them to come down to our backyard, and when they come, we gonna let the gate fall on them on the second gate, and then we gonna throw this water on them when they get past the porch, and then we gonna both just double team them, right? So me and my sister developed this plan, and baby, the plan worked. We beat the brakes off of them girls. I mean, they came, you know, back with a good windmill. I mean, we windmilled them. We jacked they slacks. Do you hear me? Okay. But I realized in all of that, my mother was like, y'all did too much. She was like, what is all of this? We didn't beat the girls up so bad. We didn't threw water on them. We didn't did everything. She said, why are y'all doing all that? Amen. But I realized in that I had to get some help, and that we weren't backing down. After we beat the brakes off of them, guess what? They didn't mess with us no more. Sometimes you got to look the enemy in his face, and you got to yet stand flat-footed and say that I'm yet an overcomer. Amen. See, the enemy, he'll say, okay, I didn't get it with that. Well, let me try to get it with this. Oh, I didn't get it with that. I didn't get it with this. But you have to yet stand firm in your foundation and know that, okay, I might take a hit. I might bounce back. I'm still here, but I'm going to recover it all. I haven't lost my faith. I haven't lost my fight, devil. Okay, you tried to take me out, but I'm still here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm almost at my close, and I'm going to get to my scripture. Hallelujah. So turn with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter and the 21st verse. That's where we're going to start. Matthew 15 through 21. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And I'm reading in the NLT version. This is a familiar passage. You know this story. Amen. It's about the Canaanite woman or the Gentile woman. Amen. And so Matthew 15 and 21, it says, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman,
only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came back on him and said, and worshiped him and pleading again. She said, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps and fall beneath their master's table. Jesus responded and he said, dear woman, oh my God, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. I'm still here, Jesus, huh? I'm still here, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I love about this scripture, now, if you read earlier in 15, you know, Jesus just got into with the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, going back and forth with them. So I'm just going to say in my own natural, he probably was a little perturbed when he got on over to the next region. And here come this lady who's a Gentile saying, Jesus saved my daughter. Amen. So he responded with nothing. He said no word. Have you ever been in a place of prayer where you're going through something and you say, God, I done laid out, I done prayed, but you don't hear nothing? You don't see that thing changing? But I love the persistency of this woman that she yet came back and pleaded with Jesus. I can feel her as a mother when you know your child is bound. In the Bible, it says she was severely possessed with a demon. You can imagine that mother. She took the determination. I'm going to cause cultural boundaries, religious doctrine. I'm going to come up against tradition because my child need a healing. Amen. She didn't care what the people thought. Even when I pleaded to Jesus, he didn't say something. He didn't say a word. She said, let me go to him again because he obviously didn't hear me. The Bible said that she went back and said, Lord, please help me. I mean, this woman here, she's been ignored. She's been told, get away from here. She begging. The disciples tried to, you know, throw shade on her. Here the Lord said, you a dog. She's been talked about. She don't see no hope to it. But she yet stayed and said, Lord, even the dogs eat on the scraps. Sometimes you gotta have that determination and say, I'm still here, Jesus. I may not have heard from you just then, but I'm yet gonna stand and keep asking and keep worshiping and keep praying. I don't care if they talk about me. I don't care if I'm turned out, if they say things about me. I don't care if I'm mistreated. I don't care if they don't even want me to come in their church house. God, I'm still here and I haven't lost my faith or my hope. I haven't lost my faith that you're gonna heal my daughter. I haven't lost it. Sometimes you gotta have an attitude like that. This thing that was designed to take me out. Can you imagine if she would have gave up after the first time when Jesus didn't say anything? Her daughter would have still been bound. What if she gave up the second time when the disciples said, get Jesus, tell her to go with all this begging. Her daughter would still be bound. She went again a third time and said, Lord, please. Come on, God. God told her, you know I'm called to a certain set of people. And she yet stood and yet asked God, can I encourage you that this thing that was designed, amen, it is not to take you out, but it's to strengthen your faith and to yet believe the word and what God says about you. You can bow to the attack, to the pressure, to how they talked about you. Hallelujah. You yet got to stay on your assignment. I believe this woman came with the attitude, I'm still here and I haven't lost my assignment. I'm still here and I haven't lost my purpose. I'm still here and I haven't lost my faith. I mean, I've heard about you, Jesus. I know that you can heal and I'm still here. Yeah. Sometimes we give up just at the point of where things are getting ready to turn. Have you ever been there? And the best part about this thing, well, it's the hardest part, is you don't know when it's getting ready to turn. So it's best that you just stay with this thing because, God, I don't know when it's going to turn. But one thing I know is that it will turn. And that's the attitude that you have to have. I don't know how long I will have to endure this thing. But God, I know that there is something else on the other side, that I won't be in this state all my life, that there's hope on the other side. It was her faith that made her daughter whole. Come on here. It was her faith that made her daughter whole. Sometimes you gotta stand, just as I said with my sister. Sometimes you got to, you know, grab somebody up and just give them a little encouragement. And you got to, you know, stand with them when you see that this thing is about to take them under. It's okay. It's okay if you need a little help. We don't have that long range anointing. We got it all together. It's just me. I'm bad to the bone. I can handle everything. Sometimes you need somebody to come and stand with you. Your victory is right on the other side. But you cannot lose what you have in you. Your hope, your faith, your joy, your strength, your purpose. Hallelujah. We've seen it over the course of these past 2 years, how people have lost purpose. They've lost what they're calling and what they've been called to do. You know, some things look so hopeless and so bleak around the world that we didn't see the other side. But God started giving us a little glimpse of hope that this thing ain't going to be with us always. And if it is going to be with us, I'm going to give you the power and the strength to overcome. And that's what I love about Jesus. He said, look, it may be like this for a while, but sis, I'm going to give you the power and the strength that you can overcome. That when that hit comes, you won't buckle under pressure. Amen. I'm still here. I'm still here. And I'm still here. Come on and give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, Apostle. He was sitting there getting, getting comfortable. Come on.
Y'all, come on. That word was phenomenal. Wow. God is just amazing. Amen. Amen. I thank God for his anointing. I thank God for the word of God. Listen, I'm not going to be before you long. I just want to piggyback. And I'm telling you, this thing, I'm still here. If you just grab hold to it and make the declaration, because the enemy is constantly trying to bring us to a place of doubting and having a place of not being reassured in what God is capable of. And so just as she said, that woman was still in a place where she kept pressing. She kept standing in the midst of, after they talked about it, after they said these things about it, she still was in a position to say, you know what, I'm still here. I'm not going nowhere until I get what I came for. Yeah. And that's sometimes the type of tenacity that you have to have. Yeah. That's sometimes the commitment and the dedication that you have to have. Lord, I'm not going anywhere because I need something from you. I need this thing to happen in my life. And so I want to go and I want to piggyback from last time when we were ministering on John 3:16. You don't have to turn there. We just kind of going to paraphrase today. We're going to talk about Genesis. Let me just flow with you this morning because I'm going to bless you and encourage you. Amen. Just as Pastor Benice has blessed us, encourage us. Listen, so here it is. I'm still here. When we talk about John 3:16 and we start this thing, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. His one and only son. Yeah. Now, last time we talked about that love and what that love was, that agape love, that unconditional love, that love that God has given unto us, that regardless of the things that we may do and the things that we may commit against him, he still yet loves us. Yeah. But it's something about when he says, I gave my one and only son. How many of us are willing to make that type of sacrifice? How many of us are willing to say that I want to give up the very thing that's precious to me, the very thing that I have, you know, toiled and I believe God for someone that may have been in a position where they could not have had children. And then they have been trying to get pregnant. They have been trying and trying and so many different things that would happen and you couldn't conceive. But now all of a sudden, this child that had been promised to you has now come into the world. And now you have this child. And God says at the time, now you got to give it up. That's because God gave his son so that he can be able to come and to redeem us. He can come and to save us. He can come and to bring us back to right place and right relationship with God. And because of that, I want you to understand this. Because God gave his one and only son, it is the same level and the same characteristics, the same thing that's in God is in us. Yeah. You say, how? Because he said we've been created in his likeness and his image. Amen. So if we've been created in his likeness and his image, we have the capability and the possible and we have the ability to give like Jesus gave, yeah, like God gave, because we're in his image and his likeness. Look over your life and think about the things that, you know what, you may as your parents, think about some of the sacrifices that they made for you. Right. So whoever raised you, at some point they made and gave something up so that you can have something better. Yeah. At some point, you may not think it as being significant. You may not think it being something big, but they gave up something so that you can have something better. Man. And if any of us in here who have children, you know that you have given up something that you wanted or desired so that your children can have better. Yeah. And so that begins to exemplify, because why? As I'm giving to someone, I'm still here because my sacrifice is helping someone else. If the people who had went through the civil rights and all those different things that they had to go through, where would we be today if they had not sacrificed and gave up their seat, gave up their time, gave up their body to be beaten, to be humiliated, to be disgraced? If we would have not had the tenacity and the perseverance to stand, where would we be today? We would not be able to say, I'm still here, because they would have given up along the way. But because they had the tenacity and the perseverance to stand, that was a sacrifice. I'm here to let you know that because God's love and we've been creating his image, we have the power to sacrifice as God has sacrificed. And I'm telling you, it will bless you. It will benefit you. It will bring you to a place to appreciate and have a heart of gratitude. And so when we understand, because he gave, I want you to see this, because there's types and shadows in the word of God. So if we go back to Genesis and we talk about chapter 22 and we see Abraham. Abraham had been given a promise that God was going to bring him a son. Bring him children. And Sarah was his wife, and they were going to have children together. Sarah's like, I'm too old. I ain't having no kids. I don't know what you're talking about. Abraham's like, look, we old. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to believe and trust in what you say. Somewhere along the line, it's going to happen. Years went by. And so many years went by that Sarah didn't become pregnant, that now she offered Abraham to her handmaid, Hagar. Hagar had a child, Ishmael, but that wasn't the promise. See, when you're in a position when you truly have given something that was truly valuable to you, Ishmael wasn't an Isaac. I don't care how you put it, because he wasn't in covenant with Hagar. Even though he had been given the opportunity to now have Hagar as another wife and to now bestow and to have a child with her, he didn't feel the same way as he felt about Sarah. Sarah was special to him. Sarah was his first love. Sarah was the one that he was committed to. Sarah was the one that he wanted to bear this child with. And so eventually Sarah became pregnant and had the child Isaac. And then as soon as Isaac has come into the world and he has come to the age of a young boy, God propositions Abraham. He said, I want you to get up and go to the mountain and offer a sacrifice. And as he began to prepare to go up to the mountain, he got the wood, he got the fire, he got all the things that were necessary for the sacrifice. And along the way, his son Isaac said, Dad, we got wood, we got fire, we got a knife. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Now, Abraham is walking this thing out by faith, because he's just trusting the instructions that God has given him. That's right. And so as he walks this thing out by faith, he goes up to the mountain. He gets to the place, lays Isaac on the altar. And listen at this. God doesn't intervene until he raises the knife. Because he wants to know and see, are you truly committed to what I've instructed you to do? Are you truly in a place and willing to sacrifice what has been given to you? Because he said, will you begin to sacrifice and kill the son that you love so much? Abraham was committed to it. And as soon as he raised the knife, here comes the angel of the Lord. Don't do it. Don't kill him. He said, God sees your faith. Yeah. Yeah. And because Abraham had faith, Isaac is still here. And because Abraham had faith to believe in the word of God, Abraham is still here because he did not disobey the instructions of God. And so I want to encourage you that if you would be willing to give and have the ability to give and to share and to sacrifice, God will give you the strength to still be here. That's why you're still here, because it's given on the inside of you. How many people in here? I'll never forget when Sister Melissa, last year doing our Christmas outreach, and she went in and she was so excited to go forth and give away gift cards in Walmart. And she was so excited that when she started giving away, I think they had four to give away or something, she was like, is it some more? Because this is exciting. Why? Because what giving does, it begins to bring a joy to you. It begins to bring forth an excitement to you, because you're willing, you can help someone that's in a place of need. It feels good. So God said it felt good to him to give his son, because I want to have fellowship with my children. I don't want my children to not be outside of my realm of love and be at a place where they don't have a daddy, where they can be in relationship and talk to him. So he said, I'm willing to give up my son. So if I give up my son, I'm going to show you, because we're made in his image and his likeness. Abraham was able to give up his son. He was ready to do it because he's made in the image and likeness of God. So we're all made in his image and likeness. So I'm here to encourage you, to let you know that if you can keep giving and keep making the sacrifices, God's going to bless you to still be here, because I want to let you know you've opened the doors for somebody. I heard them talk about Minister Caesar last week, and he brought up how his coaching was and how he encourages children. And Caesar has gone through and seen so many young people. Why? He's made sacrifices. I heard him say how the many late nights when he would get home 9 or 10 o'clock. And I've heard this from coaches when we were on this tour with Joshua and the coaches with football. And they would always talk about how they were grateful for their wives, because they would sacrifice time away from the family, because during the season you had to put in so much. And coaches had to be away from home and make a sacrifice. And it wasn't for their children. Coaches make sacrifices for somebody's kids that don't even belong to them. Because why? They love and they have that heart and that compassion for whatever sport they're coaching. And as Caesar has that heart and that love to coach and to train and to encourage in those different sports areas, it's in a position where those children were able to still be there. Because he said some of them are just there just participation, and some of them are there just to be competitive. Amen. So you have to distinguish who's going to participate and who's here for the competition. Because participants are there because they might need something from the coach that they're not getting at home. I just need to be around you because I need to experience some love. I just need to be around you because I need to experience what respects look like. I need to be around you because I need to be able to feel what patience and somebody just taking time out to teach me something. So you're still here because there's purpose for you to fulfill on earth. So don't take it lightly of the sacrifice that you made. Oh, it helped somebody along the way. It encouraged someone. It blessed someone. When you gave up the promotion because your kids, you couldn't take the promotion because you didn't have a babysitter. You had to steal, you had to settle for the pay cut. But God yet provided. You're still here. God didn't forsake you. God didn't leave you. You made it. Last point, listen. Many of us have already seen the woman king. But who in here ain't seen it? Lord Jesus, Father of God. Oh, Father, oh Lord. Y'all, when you leave church today, go see the movie. It's your Sunday. Go see the movie. Let me tell you, everybody needs to see this movie. Every single body. Everybody needs to see it. Everybody. And if you can't go to the movie, you can actually stream it now, probably on your TV. Pay the $22 for it. It's worth it. If you got you through your cable networks, you can watch right there in your living room. Man, y'all ain't seen it. But I'm not going to. This part I wanted to share. The sacrifice that this woman made for a child that she didn't know was going to become like her. If she hadn't made the sacrifice, that child wouldn't be able to be there. And God had a purpose and a plan for her.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't realize why we have to go through the pain of how we get here. The young lady didn't know the pain that she had to go through in order to be birthed into the earth. And sometimes we don't know all the pain of what our parents or our grandparents or our great-grandparents had to endure to sustain and to still be here.
Amen.
And so we have to be grateful and begin to step back and say, God, I thank you I'm still here, because that thing that tried to kill me and destroy me, it didn't. The thing that was trying to prevent me from getting to a better life didn't stop me.
Yes.
Well, everybody's seen this part, what I'm going to talk about. So I couldn't give you the fullness of it. But in the news, the people who have been coming here from Texas because they had crossed the border from Venezuela. And now they're coming over here. You can imagine. You think you got it hard. Them people talking about they go through jungles. Now in the jungle, it's real snakes. Deacon Jerry been in the jungle in Vietnam. Am I correct, Deacon Jerry? It's real snakes. It's real stuff. It's like you talking about dark black, pitch black. It's not like when you're in your car, you got headlights. No, you have to walk in these. I've heard these stories. You have to walk through, and you don't know what's ahead of you because you can't see nothing. You can run into a tree, run into a pole. You can run into something that can kill you. So these people were telling the stories of how they going through all this because they were trying to get to freedom. They're trying to get to a better life. And they made it all the way to Texas. And then Texas is spread them out throughout different parts of the country. And then Pastor Venice, she worked for the state. And then she was telling me how some bilingual workers volunteered their time to go down in Elgin and those areas and set up shop to sign them up for benefits and different things so that they can try to get them in housing, get them set up. They sacrifice those workers, take time, extra time. She said some of them probably wouldn't get home until 9 and 10 o'clock at night. Because why? They're trying to help someone else. Because why? Giving is in us because we've been made in his image and his likeness. And you can't tell me you don't have a giving spirit. Because it may not be given to the thing that may be positive all the time, but you give yourself to something. Because it's in you. You may give yourself overindulge in the drugs or the alcohol. You may give yourself overindulge to the prostitute house. You may give yourself overindulge into, you know, buying 67,000 cars and, you know, buying, you know, all the other little things. Because why? You're giving. You're giving of what of you, of your resources to get something that you want. You collect little cars, you collect toys, or you collect, you know, Barbie dolls or, you know, whatever it may be. Because why? You give to yourself because this is what you enjoy.
Amen.
And you take what you worked hard for and you relinquish it to somebody to say, you know what? This is what I want. So you're giving. You just have to begin to understand the power of it and what God has created to be. And how you can be thankful and say, you know what, God, I'm still here because I can be a blessing to somebody else. I can encourage somebody else. And you've given, not even, it doesn't have to be a physical, tangible thing, because you've given of your time to encourage somebody. To stop and say thank you. To stop and say I appreciate you. Those things go a long way. And I'm telling you, that is why we're still here, because we have to still be the salt of the earth.
Yes.
We have to be the salt of the earth. Don't allow the enemy to taint your salt.
Amen.
Don't allow him to take your ability to come in and to change situations in the earth realm and be an example of his love.
Thank you.
So remind yourself, God, you gave your own, your one and only son for me.
Yes.
You made a sacrifice. So you know what? I can make a sacrifice that I can come to church and praise you for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I can give up some of that time that I got in my 24 hours out of one day. I can give up a couple of hours to come in and worship you. Because God, you've been so good to me. So this is what we have to change our perspective and say, God, I'm thankful for this. I'm still here. And as she said, because why? I may have lost my hope. I'm still here, but I'm still pressing.
Yes.
I'm still here, God, but I still love my family. God, I'm still here, but I still appreciate my job. So when you get to that mindset, because if you're grateful, all the depression can't dwell at the same time. You can't be grateful and depressed at the same time. It's not going to operate. It don't function together. So if you could constantly have an attitude of gratitude, can you imagine that Abraham was getting ready to kill his only son? His promise? That wasn't his only son at the time, but that was his promise. And he was ready to kill and take away that son because he trusted that God, you know what, if you provided before, he'll do it again. He said, I may have been old when I had this one. He said, well, I guess I'd be old if I had the next one.
And he was.
Because he had more children after Isaac. He had more children. And that's what God will do. So when we understand value of giving and making the sacrifice, when you think back on it, God, I thank you for the sacrifices I made. For my children, for my family. I did a funeral yesterday, a homegoing for my cousin's grandfather. And he was 86 years old when he passed. And he worked at Chrysler for 30 years. And one of the gentlemen got up during the remarks and he said how, his daughter got up and said that as they were growing up, it was three of them, three total siblings. But dad would always eat last. And one day, his daughter, she was like, Dad, you don't have to eat our leftovers. And he was like, I'm not eating the leftovers. He said, I just want you to make sure that my family has what they need. I can sacrifice me, but I'm not going to sacrifice my family. And I've seen that because I saw that in my dad. And when in some of my lean days, my daughter Kyla, she asked me, I would get them happy meals. I would have enough money to get them a happy meal so they could be happy. And one day she asked me and she said, Dad, why you didn't buy you nothing? She said, why you always, I come home and eat a hot dog and be happy. And she would say, Dad, why you didn't buy you? I'm fine. I'm okay. I want to get you what you want. That's the type of sacrifice. I don't regret none of that. Because in the moment, even as a child, she was young. She was about 7, 8 years old. And she recognized, she said, Dad, why you always buy us, but you don't buy you? Instilling her that, you know what, the value of this is not about me. It's about the sacrifice because you're my children. I want you to have what you need and what's best for you. God's going to take care of me. And it has not been not one time that he hasn't taken care of me. I was happy eating that hot dog or that sandwich or whatever, the peanut butter and jelly at that moment. But my kids, they can eat something that's better for them and it's going to be well. I told him, I said, that's the heart of God.
Yes.
When you can say, you know what, I want you to eat first and I'll eat last. He may have been working all day, 12, 13 hour shifts, but he said, you know what, y'all eat first. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand, praise. We ate good. Two good meals with Pastor Venice and myself. I thank God for the word.
Amen. Good stuff.
This is the last thing for real, y'all. This is my third close, right? I missed the Sunday. It's okay. It's only 11:23. It's okay. I'm not going. Two more things we're going to do and we're going home. I can play this. You know what? I can do it even better. Sister, who back there in the booth? Thomas and... Never mind. I'm going to do it from here. I want you all to hear this. This is a clip that I had shared from Life Today with Dr. Tony Evans. I know some of y'all may didn't get your email. You didn't look at it, but I want you to hear this.
as he missed to me. I want to get you to hear this. I'm going to give
you. At the same time, he created Adam first, gave Adam his responsibility, gave Adam his word, because God holds men responsible first. When men abandon their lead responsibility, women are critical. They're essential. He uses easier conigo. She's an essential collaborator. But when mankind fell, God didn't come and say, Adam and Eve, where are y'all? He said, Adam, where are you? The Bible says in Adam all died, not in Adam and Eve all died.
Wow.
When God did the covenant, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. In other words, he would hold men ultimately responsible. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, God called all the males, he left all the women home, and he said, if I can get you men to listen to me, I will send you back and I'll save your nation. So he holds men ultimately responsible. So when men fail, it's like the foundation of a house failing. The other parts are critical, but the stability of the other parts are dependent upon the solid foundation. Foundations don't have to be pretty, but they better be strong. So God is calling men to be strong, so that everything else, family, churches, and culture, can be built on their strength. Because if not, then we're calling on women to be women and men. And God is not calling on them to be both. He's calling on us to be men. When men fail, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3, when men fail, it says the children rebel, the women take over, and it says the men become weak.
Wow.
So the Bible holds men ultimately responsible.
Listen, that thing right there,
yes.
Because this is where we miss it at. Our teaching is based on the Bible. I don't give a care what culture says. See, culture has got us off. Culture has gotten us off. If we have stayed in line with the word and what God has created for us to operate in. Notice he said that when men are out of place, the women take over. And the children rebel.
Yes.
What do you see on a daily basis? And what is the trick of the enemy? He comes. What did he do in the time of Egypt? The Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill the first male child.
Yes.
The enemy is always going to come against the male child, because now this discredits the place where God said to be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
He doesn't want reproduction. This is why we have all this particular fluid teaching. Yes. You can't tell me that it's not a trick of the enemy, because God said reproduce and they saying that I'm fluid. Where does that make sense at? In God's creation. And in the word of God. So the enemy is always attacking the men. The men have been under attack to try to steal, kill, and destroy our men. This is a plot and plan of the enemy. This is why culture and society will lock them up in jail, attach them to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, to allow them to now escape and not be accountable for their family. Because if I move the man out, they're open prey for the enemy. Somebody shared this. I got this because I was talking about it last week. When we as men don't understand the sacrifice we make, is you're going to be a husband. If you're going to be a husband, you got to be ready for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
If you just want to be a boyfriend, that's another level. I don't want to be no boyfriend. I've been called to be a husband because I'm a man. And I desire a woman. So now if you desire something else, that's your business. I don't have nothing to do with that. But I'm, as me, as a heterosexual man, I desire a wife, a woman. So I don't want to be in fornication. I desire to be a husband, to cancel that thing out so I can be in order with God. And if I'm going to be a husband, it takes a sacrifice. Now, if you want to continue to be a gigolo, be a gigolo. But there are consequences to being a gigolo. It's a new strand of gonorrhea. They ain't got no cure for it. Keep gigoloing. I'm just making it plain for you, because if we stay in line with the book, the book is right. Come on, brother Elijah, the book is right. Culture is killing us. It wasn't God's divine plan. See, it can be another plan, but it wasn't God's divine plan. And it's not to take away or diminish what women are and who they are.
Yes.
They've been made to be the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ain't gonna be. There's so much I can say, but I don't have time, and I'm not gonna go into it. Because you have to just recognize the one part of the woman king. Notice this. The wives of the king, they always were just sitting pretty. They didn't work. Their responsibility was to take care of the king. They were sitting back, beautiful, dressed. The warriors didn't wear makeup.
That's right.
The wives of the king did. Because they were in a different level. Because this is what this wife, this is what you're supposed to do as a wife. Be taken care of and nurtured. Oh, they don't want to hear that. I can't get that. Now, amen. I'll never be mad that my wife has always looked better than me. Because I'm going to take the sacrifice. She better shine better than me. Because that's what I desire. Because baby, if she looking raggedy, I'm jacked up. If she looking worse than me, I got to check me because I'm out of order. She better stay way finer than me. Long as I'm living and she with me, she better stay finer than me. I don't give a care how much weight I lose, how many little tight suits I can wear. I don't care. She gonna look better than me. I'm just telling you about me. Because that's who people gonna see, and they gonna look, how they gonna see, how you a husband, how you treated, how your wife looking. But see, what's happened is, because the body of Christ and some churches have become male chauvinists, and they're in this mindset, and they want to just constantly talk about what the women do. They don't want to teach the men. And this is why we have a generation of your daughters can't find a good man, because you wouldn't teach them what was true, because you constantly talked about the woman's skirt. What about that Negro who run around here with his drawers shown? I'm sorry. I don't know. Is this still on live? I'm gotta go, y'all. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Is this?
We got your back. Come on.
You hear every preacher and pastor telling about what the woman got to do, what she needs to do right. But ain't no man, when a man stand up and tell a man what he needs to do, you need to wake up and begin to hear the word. I got a daughter. I don't want her marrying no jack leg, no crazy old fool that won't do right, won't love right. You got to get into a position to instruct these men, and they need to be taught how to walk, how to live, how to appreciate, how to treat a woman. We got all these things about how the woman's supposed to treat the man, but when is a man going to stand up and say, you know what, how do I treat a woman? How do I honor her? How do I love her? How do I appreciate her? See, some men going to get upset and say, well, my wife ain't going to be finer than me because I'm fine too. Well, you can't be fine together. I didn't say I wasn't fine. She was going to be finer. What? I'm just trying to help you get to the next level. Get to the next level. I'm not ashamed to make those sacrifices and love my wife. That's what you got to do. We have to teach our young men that. They have no respect of a woman. I see them every day. They come in and use all kind of profanities in front of these elderly women. I'm like, man, your mouth is foul. Don't you see that old lady there? Use a profanity like that? Mm-mm. We have to be willing to teach them and stand up and tell the truth in the church. We want them to come and be filled with and come and respect it. I thank God. When we had that men's fellowship, the breakfast, a couple of weeks ago. What's the brother, your friend?
Oh, Dale.
Dale. Dale was amazing. He came in. He said, y'all got a lot of men. And all our men weren't even there. Because men will follow another strong man. And a man they can trust and ain't chasing their wife. I'm about to get in a whole lot of trouble, but I'm out here right now, Minister Oliver. I'm out here right now. When I first got out here to Joliet, I didn't realize and recognize, and there's some things that people say, and now it's starting to click. Because I found out a lot of men and women, men of God,
were dipping out.
Yes.
And that's why they were looking at me crazy. And I would hear certain things that be said, and it was like, you know, be careful of this, and you know, and people this and that. And I was like, well, I'm not thinking nothing like that. I don't want your wife. I got my own. I don't want the girl in the choir on the usher board. I don't want that. But as I stayed around a little longer, and people began to talk, and you find out that some people had dipped off. And so then they lost faith in the men and women of God. And so then some people are waiting and expecting. They're waiting for you to fall. Because that's what's been in the culture in the region. And I said, that's why God wouldn't allow me to attach to so many people. It's not that I'm all that, but I don't have no fellowships and connection with these people here in this region. I don't know what they all do. All of them not bad. I'm not saying that. I just know what God's doing for me.
Amen.
But God will, he'll let you know. You can't be around that. Can't be around that.
That's right.
Because there's some stuff you don't know about. Sit back and look around, and you know the things that have happened. And so now I understand it better. This is why every time you see me, if everything going on, my Facebook posts always have a picture of me and my wife. It ain't just me. Y'all miss that. Because I don't need my inbox jumping. I'm just trying to help you get free. I'm trying to help you get free, stay free, and avoid some drama. And so now, when that's been said now, so now, Father God, and now you got to pray because the enemy just been on notice. Because he's going to come back and he's going to try to trick somebody up. See, when you talk like that, though, he heard all that. God ain't the one that heard. You ain't the one that heard. The enemy heard, too.
Yeah.
So now we're going to pray that no retaliation spirits come.
Yeah.
So, Heavenly Father, right now, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We bind every trick, trap of the enemy. Nothing will come to harm any marriage, any relationship in this ministry, in our families, in our homes. I decree and declare that there will be peace. I come up against any trick and trap of the enemy that will come in to try to lure anyone in a place that's not designed for them to be in. I pray that you begin to cover. I pray that you begin to speak wisdom, that you speak strength, and that you will begin to build us up on tonight, God, that your Holy Spirit will come alive and that you will continue to rain upon us on today, God. Give us strength today, God. Give us wisdom today, God. Give us guidance through your Holy Spirit and keep us from the pitfalls and the traps of the enemy, that we may maintain a righteous life before you, Lord, and that you will continue to pour out your Spirit. And we give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now get your wallets out. We got to sow a seed and we're going home. We're going to sow this seed. There's a young lady. She visited the church some years ago. But she sent me a letter. She's going on a mission trip. And I just felt led. This is the first time I felt led to sow and to give into this particular vision. But she's going on a trip to Africa in November on a missions trip. And we just want to be a part to sow a seed. So if you have, if you want a desire to sow, you can sow. And I believe, God, we can stretch out our seed to reach overseas. Some of us, they never go to Africa. But if you sow your seed, oh, they went to the original version, yeah. That's DJ. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. When I looked up that joke in the booth, smiling. Like a little kid in the candy store back there. That is funny. He said, I need a senior. I need my old school good music. Go ahead, turn it up, D. You know how to turn it up.
Oh.
the rain.
Mother Harper, you know about that one, right?
Peace in the
I know you know that one, Mother Harper. Well, while that's playing, are there any first-time guests in the building? Any first-time visitors?
He's my
Amen.
Best friend.
My best friend.
And that's why I said you can't be walking.
No matter how. Everybody else is not saved. I believe everybody's saved and covered. I'll keep on singing. You know, God is good. I was thinking about you today because I hadn't seen you. And I was going to ask your mom, you know, how you were. And I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I came back to do. Welcome to new baby. But God is faithful, amen? And he wants you to be reminded of his faithfulness. And he will do all what he says he will do for you. So we're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, God. I thank you for this mighty woman of God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have bestowed upon her, Lord. I thank you for the new child, God. I thank you, Lord, for allowing her to continue to stand. I pray that you will order her steps today, God, that you will lead and guide her, Father. I pray that you will minister her peace in the areas where there's tension, where there's uneasiness, where there's areas where there's indecisiveness, God. I pray that you bring forth clarity. I pray that you will begin to build her up on today, God, that she will not be weary in well-doing, for in due season she shall reap if she faint not, God. I pray that you place a hedge of protection over her and her family, God, that you will keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger, God. I pray that you continue to build her up, God, that you give her courage, God, you give her hope on today, God, that she has faith in your promises that you said you never leave her nor forsake her. I pray that, Lord, you build her up on today, God, that, Lord, she will stand as the woman of God you called her to be, Lord. Give her the wisdom to be a wife, to be a mother, God, that she will continue to, Lord, to lift up your name on today, God, knowing, God, that you are her strength, God. You are her shield and her buckler, God, and that, Lord, you will fight against those that fight against her, Father God. I pray that, Lord, you will just surround her with your love, God, encompass her on today, God. Let her know, God, that this thing she's in, she's not by herself, God, that, Lord, you are fighting with her on today, Father God, and you will give her the strength to endure on today, God. And God, we thank you, Father, that peace is her portion. And God said for you to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I know the weight and the load may be heavy now, but God said if you cast it upon him, he'll be able to do and he'll be able to minister. He'll be able to handle and he'll be able to deal with every situation.
Yes.
God said, just trust him and all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
And it is so. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's stand on our feet.
Got a new keyboard player.
Come on.
Hey, come on, you gonna play?
Yeah, I'm gone.
I mean, you got on a nice outfit. I seen you back there, got your little pants and your little plaid shirt on. You ain't gonna play? We waiting on you. Ace, come on. I love it, amen. Amen. Come on, let's dismiss. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, God. I thank you, Lord, for this fellowship, God, that we can enjoy one another, God, that we can laugh, we can share, and that we can encourage each other, Father. I pray that you allow this atmosphere of love to continue on, God, and that we will continue to be a support and a love to one another on today, God. I thank you, Lord, for the peace in this house, for the blessings in this house, God. I thank you for, Lord, your grace and your mercy that you bestowed upon us, Father. And I pray that you order our steps and lead, God, and direct us on today, God, that, Lord, we will be the men and women of God you have called us to be, Father. Lord, as we leave this place, God, but not your presence, keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger, God. We ask you to bind all car troubles, all accidents, all traffic tickets, Father. Loose safety for us as we leave this place and keep us throughout this week as we call forth unexpected income, promotion, increase, and favor to be our portion. And, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, tell somebody I'm still here.
Amen.